Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're joined in studio with Tom Hodgson, former sheriff of Bristol County, good friend of mine, who's regularly here when I have these candidates running for the governor's office. And we have Mike Minogue. Mike Minogue, of course, is a candidate for governor. He's been all over your television, all over my television, and he's been doing a lot of interviews. I spent a last couple days watching different interviews. You can find him out there. If you want to learn more about Mike Minogue, if you want to speak with him, you can right here on the phone, 508-996-0500. And then tonight, he'll be at an event put on by the Dartmouth Republican Town Committee and Tom Hodgson and Joanne Hodgson at the New Bedford Country Club, 6 p.m. It's a free event, meet and greet, that they've put on the Dartmouth Town Committee, Republican Town Committee, so you can meet the candidate. Good morning, Mike. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Chris. Thanks for having me here. I'm running for governor because I want to make Massachusetts the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And I've been blessed by the opportunity to run a company in this state. And I want other people, other entrepreneurs to have that opportunity as well, which is why I'll be a new kind of governor, because I'm the only one that has served in the military, built a business, led nonprofits, and I'm not part of the system. So I am a new kind of leader. I'm a new kind of governor, and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
I was talking to someone this morning after watching a number of interviews with you, and I said, this is a serious man, and I don't think anybody else in politics can talk like you do about healthcare and about medical devices and all of that that's going on. Tell people what you did in the private sector.
Sure. So I was the CEO of a company called Abiomed, and we made the world's smallest heart pumps. And what we could do is put them in a patient in a matter of minutes so that you don't have to saw open the chest after you've had a massive heart attack or myocarditis. It's in all the top hospitals here, all the cardiac hospitals here in Massachusetts. I've been in most of these hospitals. I've been in the ICU, watched these surgeries. And what it does is it helps restore and rest the heart. And as a result of the success of the company, we grew thousands of jobs. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud. We saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Mm-hmm. And we had a culture that put patients first. And so the ability to hold people accountable, to be a leader, to adapt, to execute, is what made us one of the most successful cardiac companies. And 3 years ago, we were acquired by Johnson & Johnson. So since that time, I've been giving back with my wife, and we have five kids. Mm-hmm. And we give back and support both with money and time charities around veterans. So medtechvets.org, it helps veterans get jobs in the medical device industry. Okay. We give money to causes around kids or education or healthcare. And we feel very fortunate that giving back, we can make a difference. But in the discussion and in prayers, I realize that we can spend the next, 40 years with our foundation and mm-hmm. helping those causes, or I can run for governor and win and make massive changes. And I'll give you an example.
Sure.
The audit. It's known that as a concerned citizen, I helped identify the law firm, and I'm funding the lawyer who supports the office of the auditor. 72% of our state voted for it. It needs to happen, and I'm supporting that. And my wife and I also supported something called the Federal Scholarship Tax Credit.
Explain.
The Federal Scholarship Tax Credit is in law now. It's in the bill. And we help support it. We help lobby for it. We help raise money for it. And what it does is it will allow billions of dollars to come to our state that will then go to educational grants for parents that have kids in school. And 80% of the parents in our state will qualify these grants. And what it means is you can keep some of the money in the state. So if you're a taxpayer, you can keep $1,700. Every taxpayer that's going to go to D.C. and 1 million people in our state would be keeping the tax money here in a scholarship grant organization of their choice would be $1.7 billion a year. $1.7 billion a year. Billions.
Right.
And again, it will impact 80% of the parents. So if your kid is trapped in a failing school, you'll have an option. But there's one caveat.
Okay.
In order for this to come to the state, and Boston Globe wrote an editorial on it, the governor has to opt in.
And you
now,
would
it's
opt
good.
In.
I will absolutely opt in. I'm going to talk about it every chance I get,
right?
Because our current governor doesn't have to wait. She can say now she'll opt in. so that we can plan for it in the following year. And that's something that's very important. So by helping the audit, helping to lower the taxes and cost of living, right. My grandparents, my parents did not grow up with wealth. They worked hard. My great-grandparents were immigrants from Ireland. I'm here because I've had the blessing of America and great parents and great teachers. The way you break the cycle of poverty is give a kid a good education.
Correct.
And that's what we need to do in Massachusetts. We need to go back to being a place of opportunity, and we need to have the best schools, the best jobs, the best health care, and the best housing. That's what we got to do.
We have Mike Minogue seeking your vote in the Republican primary, maybe a vote at the as a delegate at the convention if you go. Mike Minogue wants to be the governor. Mike, I've listened to a lot of other interviews about you, so I know quite a bit about you. Before you were in the private sector as a CEO, you were in the military. Went to West Point. Talk about that.
So my parents raised me with grit. My father was in the Air Force. My uncle was in the Air Force. And my grandfather and other uncles were New York City police detectives. So we grew up. My mom lived in apartments most of her life, and so she was married. My dad was the first in his family to go to college. He paid for it with a ROTC scholarship, served in the Air Force, and then became a business guy. So that's why I wanted to go to West Point. I wanted to serve. I wanted purpose. And I graduated as an infantry platoon leader, and at 23 years old, I had a leadership experience that changed my life. I was deployed to Desert Storm. I had a platoon of men that I was totally committed to. Right. I wanted to keep them alive. I wanted to serve my country. These men, they didn't all like each other, but we loved each other. Mm-hmm. We were one unit. We were one platoon. We were invincible. John 15, 13, love hath no greater than to lay down one's life for a friend. Right. That's the bond. And in that experience, it was like getting a working PhD in leadership. At 23 years old, mm-hmm. I learned what it means to serve a purpose bigger than yourself. Put your people before yourself, and if you do that, you'll always be successful. And that lesson carried me the rest of my life, and I'd say 90% of my success is because I follow that rule. The other is luck and is my faith in God.
We have Mike Minogue here running for governor. Tom Hodgson has early on come out supporting you, we have... Between Tom's friends, we've been commenting that we've never really seen him as enthusiastic for a candidate as he is for you. Tom, why are you this enthusiastic for Mike Minogue?
You know, juxtapose what Mike just said and what we heard him talk about with regards to his background, his success, his disciplines, against Mara Healey. Have you ever heard her talk anything like that about how to run a state or have the background to be able to do it? No, it's all about pushing things through a political filter. And what impressed me most when I first met Mike, and I met the other two candidates, nice people.
Yes, me
and,
too.
But we're at a time where we have to look at qualifications, the best profile for being the governor. And after my first meeting, and I met with someone who's very successful here in
Jimmy DeMello.
Yeah, with Jim, and Jim happened to be there, and after Mike left, he looked at me, and I was already thinking about this. I went, "This is the real deal.
Right?
This man is head and shoulders above anyone we've ever seen that's wanted to run for public life, and if you look at his history from the beginning, it was all about he just talked about discipline, you know." Giving back to his country, giving back to kids.
Right.
He and his wife have an amazing program to support kids in education, the veterans, the medical community he's been so successful in. So it's all about helping people. And that's what I think people are dying for in government and somebody that has the leadership to be able to do it. And that's Mike Minogue.
So we have Mike Minogue here running for governor of Massachusetts tonight. There'll be an event. You can meet him, but you can also call him right now at 508-996-0500. Mike, listening to you in other interviews, I recognize you recognize the number of problems. Talk about the financial situation of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I think you're the only person I've heard talk about this. How much are we in debt?
Yeah, we have a balance sheet that's in trouble. If we were a corporation now, we'd probably already be bankrupt because government keeps going. They don't go bankrupt. Right. And our CEO, our governor, would be fired. What our balance sheet shows is that we are overtaxing. We have 8 taxes. You know, Massachusetts takes more of your money than 90% of America. Mm-hmm. People are struggling just paying their bills right now. I mean, these are the things like heat, food, education, any other types of taxes they throw on you. And our government is really married to ideology, not common sense. Right. And when you do that, you can't be proficient. You can't allow entrepreneurs and people to succeed. So the best way to do this is to treat Massachusetts like a company. Hold people accountable. Be a leader. Our current governor is a politician. I will be a public servant. This is not a career change. I want to get in, fix things, and go back to my five kids and wife.
Right.
But that means that she's been in the political world her whole life, which means she doesn't understand how entrepreneurs think. She doesn't understand how businesses think. She's never fought with the bureaucratic red tape, government, and permitting system. She doesn't know how frustrating that is and how difficult it is. And the government people love to talk about how they help create jobs. They don't help create jobs. At best, they level the playing field. At worst, they destroy jobs. You can't build a house now in a meaningful time period with the right energy and then actually produce money and make a profit. So what's happening is there was a study the other day that our homes that are in the lower income areas, they've appreciated the most. That's why they're feeling the pain and suffering, because if you have to rent now, rent's higher. Mm-hmm. Now you have to also pay for the energy and the taxes are going up. So that's partly in the rent.
Right.
If you're fortunate enough to be able to even buy a house, have a down payment, once you go and get in it, the energy costs, the penalties, the taxes, and then every year they're going to try to assess more higher pricing, higher taxes. And when and if you sell it, they're going to take even more of it back. So to the question of the balance sheet, $120 billion in debt, growing at around 4% interest. It's the fastest and the most creation of debt in the history of Massachusetts.
Really?
And the way you get out of debt as a business is you grow revenue. We're last in the nation in private job growth. Never been last before. Being last is hard to do. I mean, you do everything wrong.
Right.
The second thing is we have all these taxes and everything coming in. What about, the debt? We're second worst in the nation. So it isn't just overtaxing and jobs going away. We're overspending. Our budget has grown since 2019 from $42 billion to $62 billion. That's twice the rate of wage growth and inflation. So that's why our citizens are feeling and struggling to pay the bills. And that's why 60% of the people leaving are the ages between 25 and 44. Mm-hmm. So we have to grow revenue. We have to get the government to stop mandating unfunded things like the net zero, which is going to be over $300 billion, which would be the end of our balance sheet. We have 120 now, put another $300 billion. And if you look around New England, not one other state signed on to it.
None of them.
And only politicians think a goal is an outcome. You have outcomes in the real world, you have goals. And if your goal is ideology-based and you bankrupt people or corporations or people can't buy food and heat their home in the winter, that is something that's unacceptable. We need to lower the cost of living. We need to make Massachusetts a place of opportunity and help you again live, work, and raise your family and get the government out of your way. Smaller government is a better government.
We have Mike Minogue here in the studio. He's taking your calls at 508-996-0400. Mike, if people are more interested in your campaign, want to maybe get involved, how do they do that? What's a good website?
That'd be great. So Minogue for MA, and Minogue is Irish. It gets mispronounced a lot, so think of Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Minogue, FORMA.com. Please go on. We've had in the month and a half, I'm very proud of the support. We have so much momentum. We've got over 500 volunteers. We have 2 to 3 times the number of donors. We outraised everybody in month one, and we expect to do that again. We will do that again in month two. Mm-hmm. And we've already exceeded 1,000 donors, the fastest to 1,000. So we're very proud of this momentum. I'm also matching every single donation.
I like that.
So I'm matching every donation because I want people to know I'm investing in your kids' future. Mm-hmm. I'm investing to lower the cost of living. I see it as an investment to help millions of people. And that's why we're here on earth, to help people. And if we continue to work together, we will win. And we'll win because we have the purpose and we have the courage and we have the faith to win the general election. And I bring financial success, my personal success with me so that we'll have the resources and what it takes to win the election.
We have Mike Minogue here in the studio. You can meet him tonight at the New Bedford Country Club from 6 p.m. till, I guess, whenever. Put on by the Dartmouth Republican Town Committee, along with Tom Hodgson and Joanne Hodgson. You can meet Mike Minogue, speak with him. You can also call him here. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back.
Welcome back to the program. Of course, little Toby Keith. We're speaking with Mike Minogue. He's running for governor. He's a combat veteran, served in the first Persian Gulf War. Talk about the fact that illegal immigration on the national level and here on the local level, the migrant crisis, was really an important issue for you when you voted and what you're going to do about it and the impacts on society. Mike Minogue.
Sure. So, Chris, the America, to be clear, is the land of opportunity. And my great-grandparents came from Ireland. They went to Ellis Island in New York. And they worked hard. They moved in with friends or relatives, and they got multiple jobs, and they paved the way and for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so that's very important. So we want that. We want America to be the yes. land of the free. However, the last election, which is hard to even understand, like, why would we open our border right. up in, you know, that, and then allowing in, it's known, this is factual, known gang members who are, some of them already been arrested in America, kicked out, coming back in, MS-13, Tren de Agua, dealing drugs, which right. is fentanyl. Yes. Fentanyl is, 2 milligrams of fentanyl kills a human man. I mean, that's the most poisonous, it's deadly.
Right.
And drugs itself are an impact in Massachusetts. Our emergency rooms are over 100,000 people come in every year and jam up the emergency room. Plus, you have the sorrow of what's happening to those families and people. And many of them die.
Yes.
And then last is, we're letting terrorists come in. Right. I think we forget, like, we had the Boston Marathon bombing, and it brought our state together. But why would we let terrorists from other countries come into our country and then set up cells that can attack cities and our citizens?
Right.
The number one role of the government and the governor is to keep us safe and maintain and uphold the law. So we were breaking the law. So the last election, the most important thing for me was closing the border, securing the safety of our country and our state, and stopping the chaos that was coming in. And I believed and supported the Republican Party and President Trump because they had a plan to do that.
Right.
And now they've done it. So right. that's you, whether you like the Republican Party or not, the border has been secured.
Yes.
Unfortunately, our governor has made it worse.
Okay.
Our mayor has made it worse by declaring we're a sanctuary state or city, which as governor, that will end day one.
Okay.
We will cooperate because we need to get the criminal illegal immigrants, the ones that are gang members, the ones that have been arrested and have already violent crimes and have come back in, we need to find them and deport them. We also don't want to arrest them and then turn them back into the community where now ICE and DEA has to go in and potentially expose other people to be right. rounded up. That right. doesn't make common sense either.
No.
And so that's what we need to do. Focus on these worst criminals. But when you then offer everything for free, the ones that are still left in the country, what you're seeing is the sanctuary states, that's where the rest of them are going. And Massachusetts now, they estimate it's about 400,000. That's a lot of people.
It is.
And so 400,000 people, we should say to them, we are not, right to shelter does not apply to you. It's for veterans and it's for homeless mothers.
Yes.
That's what the intent was.
Exactly.
We've spent billions of dollars on it, up to $4 billion so far. And I think what's most frustrating is we still haven't solved the problem. There's no solution, and we're just going to look at spending over $1 billion a year. That will end. So what we'll do is right to shelter goes away for illegal immigrants. They're not free everything after that. Certainly we'll be compassionate. Mm-hmm. Those people should do what other immigrants have done, get jobs, find places to live, right. Find family members and friends. Even growing up where I did, it was not unusual that a cousin from Ireland was coming to stay in the or a weekend or staying with a cousin. And that's what you did.
Right.
And then they would get places on their own. So this is America to go back. It's a land of opportunity, but we uphold the law and we need to have common sense and compassion to do both.
We're speaking with Mike Minogue. He's running for governor. He'll be at the New Bedford Country Club tonight. Free event, 6 p.m. Stop by. You can meet him. You can also talk to him here. Mike, we were talking off the air. It's amazing with all the educational institutions, the capital that's available, and the human capital that's available here in Massachusetts, that we have dropped to last place in private sector growth. What will you do about that?
So that's where I think if you're going to find a reason to vote for me, mm-hmm. I will be the governor who recruits, and I'll start with retaining. Mm-hmm. I'm going to retain the entrepreneurs. I want every entrepreneur to be successful. I want 100 more Mike Minogues. I want 1,000 more Abiumeds. Yep. And we can do that by getting rid of red tape, by having an environment that promotes that. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to go out and thank the businesses. Life sciences, the Defense Department, mm-hmm. Other industries that we have here, sports issues, commercial real estate. These are the people we need to keep here and we need to then go and recruit. Right. So I'm going to use all of my relationships. I've been in countries all over the world for healthcare, for technology and different things. They all want to have a place now in America. They want to come here. It's been announced $17 trillion of manufacturing and investment is coming to America now. Under President Trump.
Yes.
We need to get some of that. We're not getting any of it. Right. We need to go out. We need to dominate life sciences. We need to dominate innovation. We need to be leaders in robotics and AI. We have all these incredible institutions, technical institutions, hospitals, nurses, research places. And this is where we can be best in the world. But we need the government to level the playing field, get out of the way, lower the taxes, and create an environment where jobs are growing again, where the top scientists, students, and graduates are going to stay here, incorporate here. And when you do that, it all good things can happen. It goes all the way through to helping people, helping schools, and that's what the state needs to be again. And I think Massachusetts, not just Boston, but Massachusetts has the opportunity to be a revival and to be one of the best economies in the United States of America.
We're speaking with Mike Minogue, seeking your vote in the Republican primary to be the governor of Massachusetts. Let's circle back to your career in the military. What was Ranger School like? Airborne Ranger, right?
Yeah, now. So Airborne Ranger is in the military. It's less than 1% in yep. the Army. And sometimes people think Army, Marines, Air Force. There's all kinds of jobs in it. So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are Marines, Airborne Ranger, and then I was an infantry platoon leader. Right. So the Ranger School process is, it's a proof that you know how to suffer and you know how to lose weight and starve. So if you read David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me, he did both SEAL School and Ranger School. I got a little street cred with my boys because he says in the book that Ranger School is much harder than
really?
SEAL School. But SEAL School is very physical. It's also very challenging. I'm not a very good swimmer, but once a Ranger gets out of the pool, you know, they do pretty well against the SEALs.
Right.
And The Ranger School, though, you go in fit, strong, ready to go. It's different phases. You're in Georgia mountains. You're at Fort Benning. You're in the desert. You're in the swamps of Florida, which is the most miserable. And you drop in every time you do it. You don't get a lot of food. So I went in.
Says drop in, he means you jump out of a plane.
You jump out of a plane. Right. Yeah. So you jump out of a plane. I landed on a cactus. I landed in a cow field and got dragged through the mud. But the other thing that happens is you lose weight.
Sure.
So I went in 195 pounds. Fit, I graduated 163 pounds. And by then, your body is just withering away. I couldn't feel my feet because they've been wet and cold. And I did Ranger School in winter, so it's miserable. But one of the greatest experiences of my life, because when I did get into combat, mm-hmm. I wasn't freezing cold, I wasn't starving, and I wasn't sleeping as much, but I didn't have those other physical attributes to deal with, which is why they prepare you at Ranger School. Right. Ranger School also is something really awesome. It's called you get peered. If you're somebody in charge, there's no rank there. So you're okay. There with privates, sergeants, corporals.
Yep.
And what happens is at the end of each phase, winter, swamps, desert, if you didn't hold the line for your team, you weren't a good team member, you get peered out. And so that's something also. You can't have someone that just when they're in charge, they do what they are. You got to be right. part of the team. You got to be self. It's right. again, it's back to the purpose. And the most elite units are the ones that they put the others first. And it was such a great leadership experience. And it also strengthened my faith because, sure. you know, there's always a little luck in not getting injured and hurt when you're yes. jumping out of a plane at night or you're freezing cold. And so it was an amazing experience. But all the people I know, you have this nightmare that you have to go back and do it again. I don't know if I'd ever do it again no. for any amount of money because it was physically one of the most miserable experiences of my life.
We're speaking with Mike Minogue. He's running for the governor of Massachusetts. What was West Point like? You were there for 4 years, obviously.
West Point was a great experience. Mm-hmm. It's not like a normal college, right. so I didn't do the college stuff. But what an amazing engineering degree. And, you know, I have classes even on Saturdays. You take 20-plus credits. The education is incredible. Mm-hmm. But it's also every student's an athlete. I actually played football my first 2 years. I was a wide receiver, and it's an option team. So I sat on the bench, and I was a very fast blocker. And after 2 years of that, I stopped playing, and I was then dean's list for the next 2 years. So
nice.
I wasn't smart enough to do it all 4 years, and I wasn't a good enough athlete to play all 4 years. But I had the experience of both, so I loved it, that experience. I have great friends that were all texting each other still all the time. And I look back at that as also a way to understand how you live, serve, and die. I mean, that's part of the school and, mm-hmm. and what we talk about is understanding that great leadership is really great service. And that's the things. And you got to be willing to serve something bigger yourself. And that's what West Point teaches.
We have Mike Minogue here in the studio. He's running for governor. The engineering degree. I think I heard that you'd be elected governor, the first publicly traded CEO to ever become the governor of Massachusetts.
I would be. I'd be the first ever public company CEO. I'd be the first West Pointer. I'd be the first Army Ranger. I also have multiple patents. I had patents at GE. I had patents now. I have some private businesses that I own mm-hmm. Through my own private investments. And I think the skill set of being a CEO also points back to the audit and why it's so important to have a leadership, but also an accountability. As a CEO of a public company, I was audited every 3 months by an outside agency with specific rules. And then at the end of every year, I would do that. I did that for 19 years, and I did 75 earnings calls. And I had a report card every day. It was my stock price. So I think that's the transparency, the accountability we want. And as a new kind of governor, that's something our state and our taxpayers want. We want to know, where is all this money going?
Right.
Why can we not disclose how much money we're spending on fraud and waste, which they know we have,
yes.
or the illegal immigrants, or even going back to the basics of stuff. How are we doing in education? Why did we stop measuring? If you go to Lawrence, where my wife and I support Father Paul at the Lawrence Catholic Academy, kindergarten through eighth grade, does amazing work there. Nearly all his kids, when they graduate eighth grade, can read and write English. Now, if
really?
You go across the street to the public high school, you won't see a large number, the majority, that can read and write English proficient. And that's why we got rid of the testing. That's terrible.
It is terrible.
It's we are not setting these kids up for success. If you give someone a good education, you will break the cycle of poverty. And that's an accountability also that when we look at the budgets and we look at auditing, back to your question, mm-hmm. 54% of the budget's on healthcare, right? It's like $33 billion. And then you look at education, that's like 21%. So that's 75% of the budget. I'm going to be all over that. I'm going to audit it, and I'm going to be transparent and let everyone see how we're doing in the state because that's what taxpayers want, and that's what they deserve.
We have Mike Minogue here. We're going to go to the phones after we take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll go right to the phones. They're jammed. Stick around. More with Mike Minogue coming up next.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, More Care. South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
I found out I'm bright and early. I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success. From my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money. There's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory. I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good on the pressure.
Mall, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit cartersma.com. Carter's Clothing this Christmas, one-stop shopping. We have Mike Minogue here in the studio. Mike, we're going to take some phone calls. We have some people waiting on hold for a while. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Mike, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I was wondering, you talked a little bit about it, but how much does your military experience prepare you to be governor?
Good question.
Well, I think first, how much do our current governors have in experience? And then compare, I think that for me, it shows that I'm a proven leader in different environments. So I've succeeded in the military. I know how to suffer. I know how to lead. I know how to have integrity. It shows from Abiomed that I've been a successful business person. I'm held accountable. I created a company. I sweated the details. And don't believe any successful company is successful overnight. It was 19 years. It was very difficult. I didn't sleep a lot. I had five kids during that time. The government certainly got in the way. As all those that are out there, whether you're fishermen or entrepreneurs, you know the government comes in and does dumb thing after dumb thing. And you say, why are they doing that? And then I've also had a successful nonprofit. I have a foundation. I started foundations to help military veterans called MedTechVets.org. We do things for education in schools. I've been trying to bring vouchers to Massachusetts for the last 3 years, and it is in the federal law, so we were successful. I've worked with national policy with FDA, CMS reimbursement. I've been in hospitals all over the world. I've worked with governments on healthcare education all over the world. And what I'm bringing is a skill set, but I'm also bringing a desire and an ability to adapt and execute and lead and manage. And I'm going to bring that skill set with the grace of God to help the people in this state.
We have Mike Minogue here in the studio with us. Let's go back to the phones. I believe this is the police, former police officer, retired. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris McCarthy.
Hello.
Sheriff Hodgson and Mr. Minogue, thank you for coming on the show. I want to say that you are in the presence of two great law enforcement advocates. I spent 37 years of my life with the City of New Bedford Police Department. I just want to know, if you are to get elected as governor, what will you do for recruitment and retention for law enforcement here in Massachusetts, knowing that the politicians of today, especially in blue states and the media, have made us the villains in society. And that's why we can't get people to sign up as police officers. I'll go off air and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you for your question. So my grandfather, my uncle, my godfather, and my cousin were police officers. And a few of my high school buddies were state troopers. I currently have a big crew around me that I trust, I love, and that are supporting me. They're retired state troopers. And you're not the villain. So thanks for the work that you do every day to keep us safe. And I would do everything as governor to keep you safe. That's the number one fundamental role. Keep our citizens safe and uphold the law. And I would go out and I'd try to create pride. I'd try to create the focus on purpose. And I'd let everyone know how much this state appreciates them. When you go to sporting events and different things, our state is so patriotic. We stand for the flag. We say the Pledge of Allegiance. We respect our police. We respect our military. And that's something that is in our culture in Massachusetts. It's in our history. And it's there. So I'm just gonna revive it and talk about it more. But I know that this state supports everything that law enforcement does to keep us safe. Are we human? Do we have mistakes here and there? Of course we do. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the mission that you all have is sacred, and it's to keep our family safe. So thanks for what you do. And if you're out there listening and you're law enforcement, know that I will have your back.
We have Mike Minogue here in the studio. Mike, of course, you're in the heart of the fishing capital, of the world. I don't know what you know about fishing, but tell us how you feel about the fishing industry.
Yeah, I love the fishing industry. I mean, it's also a sense, it's the history. And when you think about like Gloucester or New Bedford or just around, you know, the Cape, you have an industry that produces food for the world,
right,
and healthy food. And we should be very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And what, again, happens is our government takes ideology and people that have never fished,
right,
that don't know anything about the world that they live in, and they almost go out of the way to do everything to make it harder.
Right.
And one of the things is they put the ideology of the Green New Deal, and they do things and then they don't hold accountable. They're not held accountable to what it happens to the industry. So we need this industry, and this industry needs to grow and be protected. And when you do things like put windmills out there and they're in the ocean corrodes it. It's very expensive. It's dangerous for the fish and the mammals. I think we've seen whales die. We've seen blades being thrown on land, but in the water, it's even worse.
Yes.
And the vibration and the energy and the noise lowers the amount of fish in the area. And now the fishing regulators can come in and say, you know what? We think it's been overfished.
Right.
So now you can't fish anymore. Actually, it wasn't overfished. So now people can't go make a living because those fish are further out or they've moved. And now it's a double whammy because they're not being able to fish. The fish are other places. And just long term, for us, it makes no sense. Anyone who wrote this bill would never live to the net green. We have to go from 6% wind and solar today, mm-hmm, after 20, 30 years of billions of dollars in the state, and we have to go to 70% by 2032.
Impossible.
There's no state around us, you know, Rhode Island, Vermont, you know, Connecticut, New Hampshire. No one has agreed to these terms except for Massachusetts. This is common sense. And the way you get rid of it, it's unfunded. It's an unfunded mandate. It cannot happen. And we're not going to sign anything that's unfunded. And that goes also with the MBTA Communities Act. Again, unfunded mandate on towns. Towns want to develop an area and grow housing. That's up to them because they're responsible for the water, the septic, and all the other things. That's what we need to let happen.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more with Mike Minogue running for governor here at the Commonwealth. Stick around.
A volunteer and someone will follow up. I have a great team, lots of volunteers.